The Fan.
Castle takes the snap, whips it out to Cordero Patterson to the right side, gets a great block from Matt Asiata, and Cordero gets loose at the 40 to the Ravens 50.
Oh,
and
he's
Cordero
gone.
Patterson is gone! Wow! It's a 79-yard screen pass touchdown. Cordero Patterson.
It's X's and O's with head coach Mike Zimmer on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. X's and O's is presented by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Now, from Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
What's going on? A good evening to you. Welcome to X's and O's with Mike Zimmer, presented by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Indeed, I'm Paul Allen. The Vikings take on the New York Jets this weekend off a victory over the Carolina Panthers at TCF Bank Stadium. This concludes a three-game homestand for the Vikings. Then they go to Detroit, to Miami, and close it up against the Chicago Bears. We welcome the head coach to the conversation. Only four games to go. Where'd this whole thing go? Seriously.
It went pretty fast with all the things that happened throughout the course this season. I think it went pretty fast, and we look forward, though, continually get better these last four ball games and end on a high note.
Has it been a blur? I mean, you're 12 games into it and basically a month of football away from not having a regular season game for 8 months.
Yeah, it's happened pretty fast. You know, sometimes guys will sit and they'll say, you won't remember when St. Louis did this or that, and I'm just trying to remember last week.
Yeah. Know? Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings on X's and O's. With the off-season process, not to get too in-depth into it, you definitely are a in-the-now kind of guy. Don't want to talk about last year. Like to look forward. Jets coming up. Conversation on that momentarily. But the process of the off-season from Mobile, Alabama, through the combine, through free agency, do you enjoy that part of it?
Yeah, I really do. It's a different kind of pressure as you get into it than it is during the season, but it's fun, a different type of work. It's fun getting to know the players, trying to figure out who can fit in best into your systems, and also the part about what you can do better next year offensively, defensively, and special teams.
Your first year as a head coach, what have you through 12 most enjoyed about this job?
You know, the people I work with are pretty special, and also the players have been great to me. I love going out and working with the players. That's the number one thing that I enjoy is when we get out there and trying to get them better and trying to get this team better. That's what drives me every week.
Geez, Bob Hagen's been here about 30 years. I don't know if anybody's ever said that about him on X's and O's. That was very kind of you, Mr. Zimmer.
I'm not sure I was talking about him.
Well, conversely, let's give it a chance to talk about the other side of it. What have you enjoyed least about the first 12 games of your first head coaching job?
Losing. Yeah. I don't like that very much.
And, I thought it was going to be interviewing.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. But
that's 1A.
I like the winning a lot, but I hate the losing.
Yeah.
So that's not it doesn't really equal out.
What are some reasons, just snapshot, just quick twitch, some reasons your team's 5-7?
Well, we didn't score enough points. We haven't early in the year we didn't finish enough games. So, you know, I think every time when you go back and you look at throughout the season, you'll find positives and negatives and areas that you have to improve and areas that you continually want to get better at.
Good Teddy Bridgewater against Carolina seemed to play with poise. I would imagine when you watched it back, you liked a fair amount of it.
Yeah, Teddy's he really brings a lot of life to this team and this organization, and the way that he handles his business, the way that he works, the way that he studies. Every day is a great day with him, and we're looking forward to many years of that.
Teddy had a lot of rollouts / bootlegs in that Carolina game. When he does that, what advantage does that create for your offense?
Well, part of it is the misdirection on the running game, Sometimes it's against teams that have fast-flowing linebackers so that you can start them one way and get them back others. And also it's about moving the pocket, getting him out in space a little bit more where he can decide to run like he did on the first play or throw it like he did on the touchdown to Kyle. But, you know, it's just another element of the offense.
How does Rhett Ellison help the team, Mike?
Rhett does a lot of different things. He's good in blocking. He sometimes sometimes he's a fullback, sometimes he's a tight end, sometimes he's really an extra offensive lineman, and then sometimes he gets to get out on routes. And so he is very valuable to what we do, and he's a great guy as along with it.
What about middle linebacker Jasper Brinkley, who doesn't play as much as Anthony Barr and or Chad Greenway, but when he does, and he had that block punt too, the second block punt this weekend, how has Jasper helped this year?
Well, Jasper is a very knowledgeable guy that studies very, very hard. He helps to get everybody lined up. He helps the defensive line in communicating the possibility of plays that they're going to get based off of formations and backfield sets, and also communicates a lot of the different blitz packages that we have.
With the second block punt, the one returned by Everson Griffin for the touchdown, your base defense was on the field, save Marcus Sherrills. What led you to that personnel decision?
Well, a lot of times it's based on the possibility of them running a fake.
Yeah.
It could be the down and distance, the field position that we're in. It's just a very variable of different reasons.
Good for Adam Thielen, too. He definitely has been looking for a chance, got an opportunity, does the best he can, whether it's preseason, training camp, regular season. Good for Adam Thielen.
Yeah, and you know, he also played good on a lot of the other special teams plays that he had. The block punt and the run in for the touchdown shows up the biggest, but he did a good job in a lot of other areas.
Andrew Sendejo played four plays on defense late. What is the purpose of the three safety look with the nickel defense?
Well, actually, we had an injury going on at that time, so we stuck him in there basically as a linebacker to cover the tight end in those three plays.
And he came on a blitz one time and looked pretty good, didn't he?
Yeah, he's got good speed, and you know, we might have to get a fake punt on defense.
what kind of season is John Sullivan having, your man in the middle on the offensive line?
Well, I like Sully a lot. He's smart. He controls everything in there. I think he's having a very good year. You know, he's one of those guys that has kind of bought into everything that we're asking him to do. I think he feels good about the direction of the franchise, and he's a good guy to have around. He does a lot of the dirty work, but also keeps everybody on the same page.
What about punter Jeff Locke? I know there was a touchback he had in the Buffalo game he didn't like. Then he came back in the Tampa game and had three touchbacks. And you talked about him at the press conference, which is never a good thing for a punter. Seemed like it settled down after that, but he did have a touchback last game. How's he coming along?
Well, he had a couple good punts, and then he got lucky on one punt that he didn't hit very well. But he just has to keep being consistent. You know, he's a tremendous athlete that does a lot of great things, and it's more about with him. It's more about, hey, just punt the ball and everything's going to be okay. Just do what you do naturally because you're pretty good at it.
Jerry Gray, your secondary coach, how does he complement what you want to do defensively? Because I know you have your hands on the secondary too.
Yeah, Jerry is very, very smart. He sees a lot of the formations, a lot of plays, a lot of the where the receivers are lined up, and communicates that to the secondary especially. But you know, he's very good with the techniques. He's very good with really everything that we're trying to get accomplished back there. So I have a lot of faith, and I'm happy that Jerry is here.
With the father-son connection you have with Adam, the linebackers coach, you know, when people talk about father-son connections here, frequently you'll hear about Norv and his son Scott, the quarterback's coach, because he's working with Teddy, and Teddy's so new. But what's the working relationship like with you and your son, Adam, and how's he doing?
Well, it's fine for me. Sometimes it's not real good for him, but he's, you know, it's great having Adam around. He's very, very smart. He's a good guy. He works really hard. And I think the players continue to get better with him. You know, sometimes he wants to do a few more things than I want to do, and so we can get into it a little bit. But when we go home, it's dad and son as opposed to the boss.
If you were to chat with him about something you want accomplished, is it different than working with other coaches? I mean, do you have unspoken, like, dad-to-son stares where Adam may know that, okay, I got it, Dad, it's fine, I'll get this squared away?
Maybe a little bit. He's, you know, sometimes I'll be a little bit tougher on him than like my dad was with me. He was always tougher with me.
What about you and the general manager, Rick Spielman? Nothing having to do with evil stares, but how do you guys work on a weekly basis?
We work good. We communicate, really every single day on a lot, number of different issues. If I have questions, I go in and ask him. If he has questions, he comes in and asks me. But it's been good for the since I walked in here January 15th. It's all been good.
The New York Jets offense. Couple of quickies to close here with Mike Zimmer on X's and O's, presented by Xfinity. You seem to be a fan from afar of running back Chris Ivory. Is that accurate?
Chris Ivory is very, very physical. He's a good back. He's got excellent feet. He's number one in the league, I think, in yards after contact. So he really has caught our attention. And then Chris Johnson, the other back, who is extremely explosive and fast, has our attention as well.
Eric Decker, the Minnesotan, the wide receiver, in a run-first offense, how do they use him, and what's his overall game like?
Well, Eric is a big physical receiver that that does a great job running routes. He catches the ball well, and he also gets involved in the running game. So he's not afraid to get down in there and crack safeties and block linebackers if he has to. And so really his overall game is very, very well.
Good luck this weekend, sir.
All right, thank you.
Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. That's X's and O's, presented by Xfinity. When we return, we'll talk about the defensive line with line coach Andre Patterson. I'm Paul Allen. This is X's and O's on the Minnesota Vikings.
Tonight at 6, it's the Minnesota Wild and the Montreal Canadiens on The Fan.
X's and O's on the Vikings Radio Network continues. We'll talk about the Vikings defensive line and some defense with line coach Andre Patterson momentarily. But first, it behooves us to remind you of a couple of things. First, join yours truly and Paul Charchi on Friday morning from 9 to noon at Buffalo Wild Wings Maplewood. It's a Friday football feast presented by Miller Lite. Check out the complete schedule at Vikings.com or on my show page, the Paul Allen Show page at KFAN.com. And finally, a must, Mike Mussman with Vikings Center John Sullivan will be on the radio tomorrow night for Vikings Country at 6 o'clock at JJ's Clubhouse in Golden Valley. Sully, JJ's Clubhouse, Golden Valley. You could win awesome prizes, including tickets to watch the Vikings from the Miller Lite Party Deck. Vikings.com/Vikings Country for more information. That is Vikings.com/Vikings Country. Here's Andre Patterson. He coaches the Vikings defensive line. His assistant is Rob Akey. How are you, sir?
Doing great.
Mr. Akey, how does he assist you?
He does a good job with me. He helps me with the defensive ends. I think the one thing as a defensive line coach is difficult is defensive tackle play and defensive end play is so different. And so the thing that's good is that, you know, when we go out on the practice field that, you know, Rob can take the ends doing some individual time and work on their specific run reads, and then I could take the D tackles and do the same thing with them. So that's really helped me out through the course of the season.
The defensive line has a rotation that's really unlike none, and that's not only for this team, but I would imagine a lot of teams around the NFL, Andre, where there's just a rotation en masse. Now we have four games to go, beginning with the Jets this weekend. Are you seeing the fruits of the labor from the extensive rotation during the year? Are you noticing guys are pretty fresh?
Oh, no question. I think we are less beat up than teams that I've had before where I didn't have the numbers to rotate guys in. What I mean by that is having enough good football players to where I'm not worried that the fall off was so great that I couldn't afford to put guys out there. You know, so I'm not afraid to put any of our guys out there at any moment. And so because of that, I think our players are more healthier at this late stage of the season.
Did anything change for you when Chad Greenway got hurt? And I know Greenway's a linebacker and so is Anthony Barr, but one of the things that fascinated me in the preseason and during training camp was in the sub packages, nickel and or dime, you were not afraid to use rookie Anthony Barr as your left defensive end. Greenway goes down for a patch of games, and that pretty much put an end to that.
Yes, it did. And it made it more difficult because you needed Anthony now to truly be a linebacker in coverage. But the guys in my room were happy because another defensive lineman got to stay on the field and get a chance to rush the quarterback.
Everson Griffin with 11 sacks, 17 tackles for loss. Talk about his overall complete game.
Well, I think Griff is a unique guy in that, you know, a lot of pass rushers, that's all they are. You know, so they want to rush the passer on every snap, and if they get a tackle, they get a tackle. The thing about Griff is he's a complete player, and that's what I've talked to him about from day one. He's a really good run player, and so when you see people try to run the ball outside to his side, they usually don't have success because he has a strength and speed to get off a block and chase down a running back. He's as fast as the running backs are. So I think, to me, I think the one thing that, Griff has shown the National Football League is that he's a complete defensive end.
And he has 11 sacks, so he's had some really big plays. He had that touchdown on the block punt. But really, in taking a snapshot of the first 12 games this year, I think my favorite Everson Griffin play, Andre, and I'm sure you, A, remember it, but B, you have a different favorite play, was at Tampa when they ran an end-around to rookie wide receiver Robert Heron, and he got off the block and then running horizontally ran with the guy and caught him.
Well, I would say that that's one of mine, too, because to me, that's when he showed the world who he is as a football player. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if there's another defensive end in this league that has his hand in the dirt that could have made that play, because it showed unbelievable speed and quickness to be able to come off a block with enough force, but put his foot on the ground and accelerate faster than a receiver that's running full speed. So that's where he's a unique athlete.
Andre, did you notice with Everson, ever since you got here, he got that big deal, and not everybody thought he was worthy of that big deal, and Everson's an emotional guy, and it's my belief that he took a lot of it personally, that everybody was not on board generally with the public and or media with him getting the guaranteed compensation he got. Did you notice that maybe he tried too hard to prove people wrong, and then once he settled down, look at him now?
Well, I think that happened when we first started off with OTAs. And we first got into the meetings and we first started, you know, installing this defense, you know, and he was trying too hard to show everybody that he deserved the contract. And I pulled him in and said, don't worry about that. You know, it's over and it's done with. Okay. So all you need to do is relax and learn what we're teaching you to do. And it will take care of itself. That's it. You don't need to prove anything to anybody. Just come to work every day. Punch in the time clock and let's go to work. And he bought into it full speed.
You got the New York Jets this weekend. We'll talk about some more players momentarily with Andre Patterson, defensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings. But in fairness, the Vikings' rush defense has left a little to be desired the last five games. In fact, I think you gave up nearly 180 against Carolina. It's a string of 100-yard performances by the adversary. Is that a concern of yours as defensive line coach?
Well, I think it's always a concern because you want to hold your opponent under 100 yards rushing. But I think the one thing that you've seen is people are respecting what we do as pass rushers up front. So because you have that, they're going to run the ball at you more and try to put themselves in position where the quarterback, if he does have to throw it, can get the ball out of his hands quickly, which means that they want to be in more third and threes, third and fours. They don't want to be in the third and sevens, eights or nines, where the routes have to be farther down the field to get a first down. So to make that happen, they're going to run the ball at you more. So that's the reason why we're seeing more runs than we had seen at the beginning of the football season. So that's something that we got to continue to get better at, you know, with the front as well as the linebackers and the safeties, because it's all of us are involved in stopping the run. And you know, I think, you know, the quarterbacks have taken off on us since Chicago, which was unique too. I mean, you know, I was with Jay Cutler in Denver, and Jake ran more than I've ever seen him run. And a part of that happens because they're concerned about our pass rush. So, you know, I think we'll be okay, and we'll get that part fixed.
Andre, the progression of Sharif Floyd. Now, he had to leave last game with a knee injury, and quite honestly, a couple of weeks ago when he incurred that knee, it seemed from afar like it may have been a lot worse than it was. The work you guys have done with Sharif Floyd this year, second year, he was supposed to get better, but you talked a lot about him in the offseason, going back to his Florida days and the size and just what you wanted from him. Are you happy with his season?
Yes, I am. I think Sharif has improved so much from day one. And the thing for me is we have not seen even close to how good this guy could be. And that's what I tell him all the time. You know, you're getting some success right now. People are saying positive things about you, which was different 6 months ago. Yeah. But don't be satisfied, because my vision of where this guy can be is different. And I'm not even close to being satisfied to where he is. I'm on him every single day. He sits right next to me every single day, both him and Griff. And I'm going to stay on him nonstop, because I think if he keeps driving, we could have a chance to have a special football player here.
What makes him special? Is it the strength-speed combo? Because he seems pretty slippery.
Yeah, he's got great quick twitch to him. And what I mean is, on the snap of the ball, he can suddenly come across the line of scrimmage. And you put that with his strength, that's what makes him difficult to block. And, you know, he has that combination to where he can make tackles for loss in the backfield, and then he has the ability, when he stays on edges, to rush the quarterback. You know, it was a shame that, you know, that it wore down on him on Sunday, because, you know, he had great numbers for 7 plays.
Yep.
If he had played the whole game, he could have had an unbelievable day.
Hey, Andre, with the majority of your recent opponents, let's take Carolina out of the mix. Green Bay wants to throw. Chicago wants to throw to the running back and wants to throw to the big receivers. RG3 wanted to throw to Garcon, the nice tight end Jordan Reed, along with DeSean Jackson. Now you get the Jets this weekend. They threw 13 times in their last game. They didn't want to throw at all. And with their running backs, Chris Ivory, along with Chris Johnson, and even Bilal Powell, the third running back who they'll use, that fullback they have in front of them, John Connor, the Terminator, he can be unbelievable at times, correct?
No question. And, you know, they're going to run the ball. That's their nature, you know, ground and pound. That's his deal, you know. And the guys know that already today, that they're going to come in and run the ball. We got to put our big boy pads on, and it's going to be 9-on-7 for 60 minutes, you know. And you know, that's when people challenge your manhood. So, you know, our guys got to rise to the challenge, and that's what you want. And if we want to rush the quarterback, then we got to get him in third and long situations.
Tom Johnson has a career high in sacks at 5.5. What's been good about Tom this year?
I think Tom has done a good job of buying into the new technique that we taught him. You know, I like Tom on tape and freshly, because he showed some of that quick twitch and burst. And just a matter, I felt like if we could teach him some pass rush moves and correct his angles a little bit, that he could be somebody that could help us in passing downs. And he's done a nice job.
Last one, a minute to go. Brian Robinson, sacks are down this year at 3.5. His pressure seemed to be okay from afar. But overall, what have you thought of Brian's season?
Well, you know, it's like I tell B-Rob all the time. I tell the whole group, you know, sacks come in bunches, you know. And so he's doing a good job of rushing, and they're going to come his way. And the thing that ends up happening, I look at the kid in Buffalo.
Mario Williams,
okay? Yeah. At the halfway point of the season, Mario Williams was sitting at 2 sacks. Yep. I think sitting here today, he's up to 10.5.
Yep.
He had a 3.5 and a 4 game. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's what happens. That's what I told Griff last week, I said, Griff, okay, you've gone 2 games without a sack. No big deal. It's going to happen again. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Yep.
They come in bunches. And I still believe before we finish these games, B-Rob's going to have a big day. And
yep,
it's going to come a couple games in a row.
Thank you very much, Andre.
Oh,
best of
pleasure.
Luck this weekend, okay?
Thank you very much.
Andre Johnson, defensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings. Hey, join the Vikings and United Healthcare in the fight to end hunger. Please bring non-perishable food items, household supplies, or just some loose change to Sunday's game. Volunteers will be accepting food and monetary donations at every gate, as well as McNamara Alumni Center for every $10 raised. Second Harvest Heartland can provide 370 meals to hungry Minnesota families. That's this weekend. I'm Paul Allen. That's X's and O's on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. This is Paul Allen for Buffalo Wild Wings, the place to be this season for all the Vikings action, hand-spun wings, and your